But sometimes you have to hit rock bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what Dwayne says anyway.
And it works.
Hey, this is Dave Brenner from Theory of a Dead Man, and you're listening to This Week in Geek.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think you would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks.
Fat foot, don't with the hitting, I'll make it should fit.
See, now that's funny. You kids do it just like that. All right, Morty, roll it. Action.
Hello and welcome to the Nerd News Network. This is episode 22, and I'm of course TFG and Mike. Joining me is the Gravy Moose, Alex. Hello.
Hello, hello.
And Mr. Christopher, it's kind of almost like we have our own Canadian Mr. Terrific over here. What the hell?
That's right. It's good to be here.
That's right. Hopefully you'll speak up this week.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be nice. So we are back, and as you notice, Mike Dodd is not with us. He ripped his vocal cords on some really, really bad bacon chocolate something or other. I have no idea what he did to his voice. He was super busy over the weekend screaming at everyone about the Dungeons and Dragons Terrible Warriors thing. So, Tristan, you took part of this. Well, actually, both of you guys are on that. So, but, Tristan, I want to get your first D&D experience, because I remember since we've started with you, you had said you had never played before.
Yes, yes. Dungeons and Dragons... Since nerds have first come to this earth, it's always been a pillar on which all nerdism is founded, and the mere mention of the name Dungeons and Dragons gives you an image of bespectacled, acne-riddled teenage boys huddled around a table, rolling dice and shouting stuff like, "I cast Fireball!" But it's always been a nerd's game, and it's always been something that's intrigued me, but I've never really been able to find the time to play. But this weekend, thanks to Mike Birdman Dodd, I had an opportunity to wet my feet a little bit in giving it a try. And if I had to sum it up, I'd say it's really frickin' addictive. Mm-hmm. I was invited on to the Terrible Warriors show, which is another This Week in Geek show, which if our listeners don't already listen to, they should. They should go check it out right after they finish listening to us right now. We had a mix of different experience levels in our little group. We had one veteran, we had another person who hasn't really played in a long time but still knows their way around the game, and then two complete newbies, with myself being one of those. So, as usual, I started off pretty quiet, pretty shy, but it didn't take me too long to get dragged right into the story and get right into how to play. I got the hang of it fairly quickly. Birdman was a great GM. He was able to just think of stuff on the fly, even when things didn't go the way he kind of thought things were going. So he knows what he's doing in that respect, and that really made the experience that much better. Mm-hmm. All of my prior RPG experience is all video games, so it's not really anything comparable. Like, there's a lot of the same ideas and monster types and different tropes that are in both of them, but the way a Dungeons & Dragons campaign moves is so dynamic and organic, I really don't think a video game can compare. And that's something that's really kind of sparked a new interest for me, and it's something I can see myself doing a lot of. Like, there's been games that have tried to capture the essence of that dynamic world. Like, EverQuest Next had an idea of making this dynamic, ever-changing world, and look where that got them. And they just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So having this experience just there and able to enjoy with just a handful of people, as long as you guys are all into it, then it's exciting. It's fun. It's so unique as an experience. I can definitely see me enjoying that often as a new hobby.
Awesome. What about you, Alex? I'm pretty sure you've played before, right?
Honestly, this was my third time playing.
Okay.
So I had played twice before, but never an actual D&D game. It had been through other systems when I was over at Mike's. And so this time it was like, I was at work and he goes, hey, when you come over tomorrow, we're going to play D&D. Make a character, read these rules. And I went, okie dokie. And I think I did pretty well for being a newbie. Like, I played on Friday, and then I guess they recorded the rest of the weekend, but I was working. So I had a pretty good time, and it was the same deal where it's like I'm sort of having to learn as I go, and it's not as number crunchy as you'd think. It's not as difficult as or as crazy immersive or difficult learning curve that you may think there is. It's just it's however difficult the GM wants to make it for you. So so it's basically it's their rules. They get to play with it, and you don't have to, you know, play according to the book exactly 100%. It can be the person running the game just goes, yeah, you know what, that makes sense. Let's go this direction, and you just move with it. So it's fun. I can see it being something I would like to do much more often.
Because
it's just you're playing an interactive board game.
Exactly, and like you said, it's not as number crunchy as it seems at first. It seems daunting when you first get there. There's the sheet in front of you. I was lucky enough for one of our players to have already made a character for me. I just selected my class, and then they did all the character creation before we started playing for me. So when I got there, I just picked up the sheet and read a few rules and got the basics down of what I was supposed to do. But for the first little bit of playing, I was constantly staring at my character sheet, trying to figure out, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? And then as we went on, I realized, okay, it's not really about the character sheet. It's about just playing the game and just doing things. You have a scenario described to you. Here's your surroundings. Here's your environment. Here's what's happening in front of you. What do? You react as a person. You say, okay, well, I want to go over here and investigate this over here. I want to talk to this person. I want to ask questions about this. And then it just happens. The numbers and everything is just about what your action does. It's I want to do this. The numbers say this happens because I wanted to do this, not the other way around.
It's like a choose your own adventure book.
I wish there were still more of those, like new ones of those being made. I might have played Dungeons and Dragons as a kid. The only two things from that franchise outside of the actual game that I remember are the old animated series and the 2000 Justin Whalen, Jeremy Irons movie.
I love that movie. I don't care what anyone says. I acknowledge its horribleness. I love that movie.
Problem. I kind of committed us to find it. Trust me.
I hate when you say that.
Don't touch that.
Kill them slowly.
You finish the maze, you win the prize.
This task alone.
You know, I love the way you track. I'll get Marina, you get the map.
How you get the girl and I get a map? We gotta work out some new plans.
I want them found.
Do you really think you can steal my destiny?
Be careful.
You too.
And then, of course, you've probably played some video games that are influenced by it.
Yeah, probably. Well, but I'm saying D&D proper. It's like it was never. It was one of those things where it was there when I was a kid, but it was never something that I felt that I had to. Oh my god, I have to play. And the crazy thing about the 2000 Dungeons and Dragons movie. I went to a double feature at a really weird movie theater in Biloxi, Mississippi in the year 2000. I saw that and Charlie's Angels back to back in this kind of like sit down club type movie theater. So think of the Ink and Paint Club from Roger Rabbit, except it's showing a movie instead of a stage show.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Thank God the penguins, you know, weren't serving scotch on the rocks. So, but yeah, no, that was hilarious. I like, and I think I was like one of three people that were in that theater that day watched. Yeah, it was a really, really strange experience, but no, absolutely. So we've got more news and everything else. And, sadly we have to, it seems like they like to make us report on people's passings every week at this point now.
Yeah, I'd like to go a week without somebody important in our community dying.
Yeah, or our culture, yeah.
Yeah, there hasn't been a single show I've been on that we haven't been talking about death for at least some point, and it's unfortunate.
Yes. The big one this week was your actor, comedian Jerry Lewis has passed. I've seen him in various things. I've seen a lot of the Tonight Show clips that he was on and things like that. But what I remember most is Tom Ruger and the Animaniacs crew kind of spoofing on him when they created the character Mr. Director and Paul Rugg voiced him in Animaniacs.
I remember that.
Freinleben guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
See, I just remember Nutty Professor.
Reference to him in Back of the Future.
Yep.
Yeah, like, and then I think I remember seeing some of the telethons he used to run.
Yep. I remember that as well.
But I'm pretty sure he stopped those about, like, you know, 15 years ago or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know, like, right up into the early to mid, maybe even late 90s, I remember seeing them on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so we're going to head to the lobby for some
movie news.
All right, what kind of movie news we got this week, Tristan?
Well, in Star Wars news, the Obi-Wan movie looks to have a director chosen, Stephen Daldry, who has been in the scene for a few years, actually in 2000. He made Billy Elliot, which earned him an Oscar nomination. And then he got two other directing nominations for his The Hours in 2002 and The Reader in 2008. So he's got some credits under his name. And he's been chosen to make the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie, as Lucasfilm and Disney like to make their non-episode Star Wars standalone stories, which started with, of course, Rogue One, and now we have the Han Solo movie. So now there's the Obi-Wan movie, and they are looking to make standalone films for characters such as Yoda and Boba Fett and many others. So it looks like there's a lot of Star Wars to come. There's no actors and no scripts attached to this film yet, though Ewan McGregor has been known to say he is open to playing the character in future, so we can all cross our fingers and hope that the Force guides him right into that role, because he deserves it,
yes,
in my opinion. So I'm hoping that's that'll be a story we'll see very soon, hopefully after episode 9.
Yeah, absolutely.
Obi-Wan's got a good story behind him. There's so much space there for storytelling, although most of it's a desert planet, but other stuff.
Well, they haven't really, like, they, okay, so, again, say what you will about the prequels. Revenge of the Sith kind of gave us the answers that A New Hope always teased us, like, oh, the end of the Clone Wars, this, that, and the other. So we kind of see why he, we didn't see how, or the other ramifications of him going into exile, which would lead into A New Hope, but, you know, we saw part of that. And heck, you know, we could even see like how he first met Yoda or something like that. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah. How did he come into the Jedi Order? How did he meet Qui-Gon and the Jedi Council? Mm-hmm. Yep. His backstory. Even though he used to have a backstory, but now it's known canon.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Alex?
I'm optimistic. I don't know. It's a little far out for me to, I have to see a trailer.
Yeah,
I want to see where exactly in Obi-Wan's story they're going to try to focus this. Is it going to span his life? Is it going to be something for Tatooine? Is it going to be Clone Wars? Is it going to be the pre-story?
Or is it be him just being like a gardener in a cave or something?
Exactly. Is he just going to be staring at sand and learning how to become a ghost?
We ain't found shit. yeah, Kate like you said... Like you said, Tristan, I need to see a trailer before I get.
Yeah, that was Alex.
Okay, whatever.
I want to see one too, but he said.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm with everybody. I need to see a trailer for like these news stories. Like it's great. Oh, it's been announced that it's happening, and McGregor says that yeah he would be up for it if you know. But again, until I see a trailer, I'm excited, but I need to focus on the we're X number of months away from Last Jedi. I need to see what's going on there first before I get really excited for any of the standalones. And a Boba Fett standalone film, do we really need that? If I hadn't read Jango and Boba Fett and Blood Ties, the two Dark Horse Star Wars comic series for that character, I still would have been like, oh, that character's just, you know, the token black guy, you know, he's gotten rid of like within 10 seconds of the movie or whatever. Cause like, I never cared for Boba Fett at all whatsoever until I read those two comic series.
I never knew what the big deal was either.
I've never read those comics, but I'm going to have to agree with you guys. Boba Fett has always been touted as this really, oh, he's such a badass, but he doesn't do anything in the films.
Yeah.
He repeatedly fails and then gets, eaten by a Zarlacc.
Yep. Like,
that's not a very exciting character arc.
Nope, not at all. So, Alex, what do you got for
TV news?
All right, so hit us with your TV news, Alex.
Okie dokie. It could be TV or it could be movies, depending on how it goes. I think we spoke, was it maybe last week or the week before, about Hasselhoff looking to maybe bring back Knight Rider?
Yes.
Well, apparently he's been lobbying Robert Rodriguez to have him redo or reboot or remake, either as a movie or a series, Knight Rider, but make it have a very different tone, make it in the same tone as the Logan movie. So we're talking like a dark, gritty HBO style show. I don't really
picture David Hasselhoff as like an old man Logan style character,
but he's at that age now where maybe this would be his last chance to show that he has acting chops. If he who knows if he does, but you know what I'm saying? Like, this is like, well, look at what Michael Keaton has done. He's done a full turnaround from people thought of him as the comedic actor. Then he did Batman. Then he did nothing. He did Multiplicity came out and Jack Frost and then nothing for 15 years.
Yeah.
Like maybe White Noise had a little bit of buzz behind it, but then nothing. And then he does, you know, he gets nominated for an Oscar for Birdman. He's probably going to get nominated again for the Founder. And then he shows up, you know, as probably one of the best villains the Marvel Universe has ever had.
I do have to point out, though, and I know everyone's going to hate this. He played a fairly cool Bruce Wayne reclusive type character in the 2014 Need for Speed film.
Oh, I see. I still haven't seen that.
I'll send you something later.
So, but that puts it right in line with the Birdman stuff, right? Like he's had a renaissance in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I've always liked him. I don't know.
Yeah. So I mean, so if he can do it and have he's a turnaround, quite... he's right around the same age as Hasselhoff, right? So. I don't know. The Hoff being something that's not campy, it would be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know if I could see him as anything other than campy, even if he's not trying to be. Because true. I'm so used to everything he does being so goofy.
I think if you... Like, if they set the tone properly, by midway through the movie, you'd probably be used to it.
Yeah, as long as they don't slip at all or try to do fan service in any sort of way that would remind me enough of original Hasselhoff stuff.
Just don't ask him to cry, because if you've seen him cry in Baywatch, it's the most hammy, ridiculous shit ever. There's that scene on YouTube where he's crying and yelling at God, and it's ridiculous.
The way I see any Knight Rider thing going forward is just, again, this is just my own thought. Of course, you know, Hollywood's never going to listen to the fans, for the most part. You know, don't necessarily give him an eye patch and turn him back into Nick Fury from 1998, but at the same time, he's not a young man anymore. I said this last week when we were talking about this. Basically, turn him into the Devin Miles role. Make him the mentor. Make him the guy that used to have this, or you know, has this giant legacy, you know, behind him. That, you know, so he's training somebody new or something like that or whatever. But I don't know. Again, until we actually see anything come out of this, they've been trying to say stuff about a Knight Rider movie since the 2008 TV series from NBC came on air. But you know, and
you know, what,
Glenn.
The only reason I'm even, you know, reading about this is if it could actually happen is Robert Rodriguez is known for being able to take something even with a low budget and roll with it, right? And, like, he's never, if he does take this project on, it's not ever taken a project on that he didn't complete and didn't actually get released or produced. So if he has been lobbying him for it and he's interested, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah. And that's fine. Like, I don't have a problem with it. I'm just saying the Knight Rider franchise has been left in limbo for 9 years. I mean, yes, Lion Forge has their comic series, which I eventually will review over on the Pullback for Geekcast Radio, but like the last time we had anything was the 2008 television series, and that was that. Like, we haven't had anything major. Supposedly, he was involved in some supposed series that was supposed to happen but hasn't happened yet or didn't happen yet, because I saw YouTube videos of him being filmed for something with Knight Rider, but I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, if they can, you know, pull The Rock in to do a Baywatch live action film now, and I don't know.
Well, that Killing Hasselhoff movie looks like it's going to be funny. It's coming out this year. Have you seen the preview for that?
No.
The whole plot is he's in the celebrity death pool for lame, washed-up actors. And if he dies, then the one main character of the movie will make like $20 million or something. So he tries to hire assassins to kill Hasselhoff.
Oh, my
in one of the.
See, that sounds like a Hasselhoff movie.
Yeah, yes. That sounds like a Hasselhoff
One of the assassins is gay, and is in the preview gives Hasselhoff a choice: sex or death. and he goes, I have to choose. I'll send you guys the trailer after, because it actually, for a low budget movie, it looks funny, but that's what you sort of expect him to do, like a parody.
Exactly. That's what he does now. He is a parody of himself. I'm David Hasselhoff. I mean, how many
Sharknado movies has he been in?
I don't even know, but probably a few. Yeah. I mean, the last time that I even noticed anything that he had done, this is a while ago, when he left America's Got Talent and he premiered his song Jump in My Car with the Hoffettes and all of. I'll have to send you guys that video afterwards as well. But that was like the most hilarious thing ever.
Well, have you seen the Blu-ray release trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy?
The music video thing.
Yeah. See, that's what you expect with him now. He does the whole Shatner thing. He pokes fun at himself.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. We are going to take another quick break, and we'll be back after this.
This is getting expensive.
Random news notes.
We're going to talk about some comic stuff, folks, because IDW Publishing and Humble Bundle Comics are having a Humble Comics Bundle for Transformers and G.I. Joe, the biggest Transformers G.I. Joe comic Humble Bundle available for a limited time. Over $741 worth of comics from IDW Publishing featuring Hasbro's Greatest Heroes offered in support of a child-focused charity. This is all going towards the Hasbro Children's Fund. Humble Bundle and IDW Publishing have launched their biggest comics bundle together to date, the Humble Comics Bundle Transformers vs. G.I. Joe, presented by IDW. This two-week digital promotion is offered in support of the Hasbro Children's Fund. It's featuring digital content previously never bundled, including volumes from the IDW collection. These popular volumes collect all of IDW's Transformers and G.I. Joe comics in chronological story order, making it fun and easy to dive in and get caught up on their comic book adventures. Featuring the work from some of the most talented writers and artists to ever take on these iconic characters, including James Roberts, John Barber, Margaret Scott, Mike Costa, Christos Gage, Ja Lee, Andrew Griffith, Alex Milne, and others. As with all Humble Bundles, customers can choose how their purchase dollars are allocated between the publisher and the charity. The Humble Comics Bundle Transformers vs. G.I. Joe, presented by IDW Supports, has the children's funds that I already mentioned. And the bundles range from, I'm not going to go through what's in each one, but like you can choose to pay a dollar or more. You can choose $8 or more, $15 or more, $20 or more, or $25 or more, and get all these cool different varying things. I will put the link in the show notes, and you can head on over and look at the press release to see what exactly is in these bundles as well. I love the Humble Bundle things. I've never actually done one, but I think that's great that all of that stuff, especially in this case, is going to the Hasbro Children's Fund.
I had no idea they did anything that wasn't video games for these Humble Bundles.
Oh, really? Like,
I've never done one of these before. I always thought they were just video games, but that's just kind of my thing is gaming, so that's where I know them from.
They've had books and audiobooks and stuff, and they even did indie. The one I liked was stand-up comedians having their stand-up specials. You could get like video versions and audio versions, and it was like $10. Huh. Yeah, so they do it occasionally.
And
I've been missing out.
Yeah, I've seen them do various comic bundles in the past. I don't think it's just IDW that does it. I think it's other comic companies that do it as well. So, but no, that's very, very cool, very good thing that's happening to help the Hasbro Children's Fund. All right, Tristan, what do you got?
Well, last week, you may recall me talking about No Man's Sky and how they got an update to their game that has supposedly brought the game up to some semblance of what they originally promised, and it took a full year for them to get there. So I bought the game, and I got everything all set up, and I gave it a try. It was a very short try. And then I gave it another short try. And then another short try. Because the game doesn't work on my computer very well. Every time I boot it up, it lets me dink around for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then it just freezes up and dies. So I've spent a few days over the last week trying to troubleshoot this. I have updated drivers, I've rolled back drivers, I've uninstalled the game, I've reinstalled the game. I've cleaned out and reinstalled some components on my computer. I've tweaked every setting in and out of the game possible. I've uninstalled other programs that may have caused a problem, and every time I try, it just locks up and kills itself. Existence is pain for this freaking game.
Yeah, so, apparently so, because it sounds like every single issue I've had with my GTA crap that I talked about weeks and weeks and weeks ago.
I've searched so many forums for anyone with a similar problem. The problem is searching for the terms freezing and crashing in a game that contains mechanics that involve freezing characters and crashing ships is not helpful.
Nope.
How...
I can't narrow it down to bugs.
So what you're saying is we need to hang the programmers too.
Yeah, I'm thinking those programmers need to head out onto the gallows.
And they have to be on display.
Programmers, ye be warned. I've shot off an email to Hello Games, and I'm waiting for them to reply, but it takes a while.
Are you kidding me?
So if they ever reply, or if I ever get the game working, I will get back to you, and we will see how it plays, if it plays, next time.
That's like calling somebody and saying, hey, your brother poked me up the bum, and I'd like you to tell him to stop. Like they're going to acknowledge you. It's not going to happen. You never get the bum pokers.
I made it a very pleasant email. I tried to be colorful, but not in a swearing way. Just in a, you know, I've tried everything. I've tried playing standing on my head. I've tried playing underwater. Like, what's going on here, guys? Fix this.
Yeah,
at least help me.
They're not
help me understand what's happening.
It's too bad you can't get a refund.
Probably not. I've played it for more than 2 hours, but I guarantee I've only made about 5 minutes of progress.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not good at all.
I won't comment on the gameplay because I really don't know.
You kind of can't. I mean, I've only been playing it for 10 seconds at a time.
And last time everybody was like, oh, Alex, you're being so harsh. Now you want to hang them.
My experience has not been pleasant, so bring on the rope.
Fetch me a rope, Mr. Tristan!
Just happened to have one, Captain.
Oh, God. No Man's Sky. Yeah, you're right, because no man wants to go into that sky.
More like No Man Play.
Yep. No game for you!
It's like, oh, wait, we got all of our money, and we're gone.
What happened to the creator right off the bat. Like, wow, everyone's playing so amazing. Great job, everyone. Okay, and then he just disappeared for months. I understand why. Now.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy I'm not in the current gaming generation.
Ramps.
I've heard of a community on Reddit called Patient Gamers.
Mm-hmm.
They seem like a smart bunch of people. They wait for new releases to be a year old or 2 years old to when they start getting really heavily discounted. All the bugs and problems get ironed out and the community stabilizes. And then they get involved with those games. Mm-hmm. It seems like a pretty good idea.
In some cases, but otherwise you could end up in like Game of Thrones territory where things get spoiled for you too quickly.
Quite possibly, but I think it's a mindset you have to have where you can't look at a game for its story. It's just those titles like maybe not sports games or Call of Duty. You can't really do the episodic ones like that, but any sort of new idea as a game that's not necessarily story driven.
So you're saying shitty games.
Something that seems interesting.
So shitty low budget games, you gotta wait.
Maybe not shitty low budget so much.
Shitty high budget.
Exactly. No. Things that are fun but take themselves too seriously and think they're AAA when they're not necessarily. So they cost an arm and a leg, so they wait until it drops down.
Everything out of Europe and Montreal.
Yes.
That's not Rayman. Rayman survives. That's it.
So every game that has its pinky up in the air drinking a cup of Earl Grey, okay then.
Yes, or wine.
Good games that take themselves, think too highly of themselves, but they're still, they're okay games. They're good games, but they're not amazing.
But if you look at them, how many of them come out of Europe in these small little tiny, like, tax-sheltered countries? It's true. It's always like some Polish game or some Romanian studio worked on it, or some new division in Quebec, or some rinky-dinky, like three people in some state in the States where they got a tax shelter where all the money comes back because of some tax break they get, right? It's always those ones, and then they get overhyped.
Yeah, because, and hype is such a killer.
And people will blame like Activision or EA and all these companies, but they're just publishing it. They're not the ones actually making those games.
Exactly. They are given information from the developers of the games. Like, hey, here's what the game is. Here's what it's going to do. And then they're going to take that. And of course, they're going to try to make it as popular and interesting as they can. They are the advertisers whip up crazy, exciting things. And then the developers don't deliver. And it's the publisher's fault for some reason.
General rule of thumb is if it was programmed in Texas, California, BC, Alberta, or Japan, it's probably good.
Yep.
And then the rest of
absolutely.
So you got like two states, there are two or three states that program that have like good companies in them, about two provinces, maybe Ontario has a couple things, but it's not as big, but it's generally Alberta and BC, and then Japan.
I'll keep an eye out for that.
All the best stuff is made in Japan, at least it used to be.
Yeah. But even then, sometimes the crap gets through now because it's easier to translate things that are crap.
Mm-hmm. So we are recording this August 21st, 2017, and I had seen a story earlier in the week about the fact that the Muppets are going to be putting on some concerts later this summer. And I'm thinking, later this summer? The summer is over in 9 days. It's like... what the hell, people?
Technically
they have till September, right?
Yeah, but still. So
you think
later,
summer, you don't think September.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's my point.
Very true.
You know, you think, you know, late May, all of June, July, up to about Labor Day.
I think
or
maybe.
So it's early September.
Yeah.
But, you know, so, quote unquote, later this summer, the Muppets will perform on stage for the first full-length live concerts. The trio performances will take place at the legendary Hollywood Bowl in California from September 8th through September 10th. According to a press statement, the concert event, officially dubbed The Muppets Take the Bowl, as a nod to the Muppets classic 1940 film, will feature the Muppets as never seen before, live and in person. Okay, more like in Frog and Bear and Pig. Ew.
Oh, jeez.
Are they going to be like? Are they going to be people in suits and they're going to look like monstrously huge compared to what they're supposed to look like?
It's a bunch
of mascots.
As long as it's not Willem Dafoe in a Green Goblin costume, you know, like, yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
Okay, so let's see. Live in person. Along with longtime favorites Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy, the show promises the return of some characters who haven't been in the over three decades. Fans can also expect a handful of special celebrity guest cameos, not unlike the late 70s variety program, The Muppet Show. As long as Jack Black and Animal do something, kind of like the 2011 Muppets movie, that would be hilarious.
for some reason, my brain was thinking this is like an on-ice show. That's why I was thinking they'd be... But this is on stage. No. They could easily just have like a second layer on the stage where people are behind it. Okay, that makes sense. Because it's like, how are they
going to
get these puppets to skate?
Yeah, no.
That'll be next, though. Muppets on Ice?
It's probably already been done.
Oh, probably. Stupid giant costumes or just people skating around with just the black morph suits.
I mean, it can't be any worse than the TMNT coming out of their Shells tour. I mean,
well, there was it Turtles or something? I remember going to when it was Paramount Canada's Wonderland. I think it's just called Canada's Wonderland now. When it was Paramount Canada's Wonderland, I remember they had like I was 5 years old walking around, and there was a concert, and the Turtles were, like, playing rock and roll or something?
That's coming out of their shelves.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because it was bad. Mm-hmm. Even as, like, a 5 or 6 year old, I was like, those voices don't match. That looks bad.
To come through. That's why we're here and we're telling you true. We're coming out of our shells, yeah. You hear the rhythm and you're moving your feet. Ain't nothing like a song with a beat. We're coming out up from under the street. Lord, we're ready to rock. There will be no retreat. We're coming out of our shells. Out of our shells, we're coming. Out of our shells, we're coming. Out of our shells, oh, once we got started, we knew that we scored. Learning the music and finding the chords. We just kept practicing, we stayed underground. Cause singing in the sewer is a wonderful sound. We're coming out of our shells. Cause when there's music inside of you, you know that one day it's got to come through. That's why we're here and we're telling you true. We're coming out of our shells. No, we're coming out of our shells. Yeah, we're coming out of our shells.
Yeah, I'll give you an example of that later. So, all right, what else we got, Alex? What else you want to talk about this week for random news notes?
We got a couple random things. We'll go quickly, touch quickly on this because it's probably more of a Dodd thing. He can talk about it in detail because I'm assuming he's having a brain aneurysm and angry over it. Which is that BioWare finally confirmed that there's going to be no downloadable content for Mass Effect Andromeda. We already sort of knew it, but there was still hope that there might have been the one expansion to detail some of the story threads that they left open. And they just came out and were like, nah, not happening. Nuh-uh. We're going to support it through comic books and crap that doesn't cost us any money. And and then the internet died.
Yeah,
just collectively collapse.
I wouldn't have wanted to be in the room with Dodd hearing this because people might have had their head shot.
Yeah, the internet collectively died, just like the Mass Effect franchise. Because we've already reported on that. Reported on that. They're not making another game, whether it's for the main series or whether it's for Andromeda. You know,
they're going to shelve it for 5 or 6 years probably.
Yeah.
Like, and basically at this point, either that Anthem game, it has to do well.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't, the company's gone. Like, gone. Like, there won't be any need to have them around anymore. But they also, basically, Anthem has to be successful at least making money. It doesn't have to be a great game. It just has to make them money to funnel into their actual other projects. And the next Dragon Age game has to be a hit, so... If those two games don't do well, then there's no more BioWare, which is interesting because like they were viewed for the longest time as one of the top maybe 2 or 3 best development houses in the world.
Yeah.
And then they just like...
Times.
But they had to have a studio in Montreal. They had to have a Quebec studio and ruin everything. There's only one...
Biggest mistake.
There's only one game or one series that's even ever come out of there that's been any good. The Deus Ex series, but that's... That's Eidos, Montreal. Because there's always one exception to the rule.
Assassin's Creed have some Montreal.
Yeah, but that's crap anyway. And come at me, fans. I don't care.
It started good. The first two games are phenomenal.
No, they're all garbage. They're just tech demos.
Oh, whatever.
Okay. You want to talk about games that come out and then don't work for the first like month, and then you got to have like a 30 gig download to fix it? That's that series. Assassin's Creed, Unity, and all that crap.
Well, yeah, the late games are all garbage, but those first two.
They weren't done there. Weren't those ones done over in, like, Paris or something? Even then, still crap. I'll argue that. I'll fight Dodd about it, too. Those games are crap.
They fell off. I think.
You want to hear fighting words? Hey, Dodd, Black Flag is garbage.
Right. Well, I don't think I'm going to
tweet.
Tweet
at him about that. Tweet at him about it. See what happens.
So Alex said the Black Flag is crap. What are your thoughts on this? I'm not throwing myself under this bus.
Exactly. No.
Go right ahead.
I know better than that.
I'll stand by it. Your pirate games suck, dude. But yeah,
we just did that campaign about pirates. So I know. I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, I mean. I don't know, something about that game, that whole series isn't that good to me. But anyway, regardless, set that aside. This is pretty big news considering that the game was, I believe, successful monetarily, but not to the degree that they expected. But to me, I knew they weren't going to come out with DLC the day it launched. Because if you've looked, every single other... Electronic Arts game, I mean every single other Electronic Arts game, whether it's a AAA title or mid-range title, has a gold edition or whatever they call it now, or a deluxe edition. The gold edition usually comes with a season's pass. They almost all have a season's pass or some DLC at launch, and this game had the deluxe edition, which just came with a couple of digital items. Or the regular edition. There was no gold, Seasons Pass edition. There was no mention of anything anywhere. So they knew for at least 6 months or more before the game came out that it was going to tank. But then tried to hype it up anyway. So that, I'm glad that they closed the studio and made it just a support studio, because that studio in Montreal could never come out with another game again, because even if they injected new people in there, the faith is gone because you lied to the public. And that's how rabid the fans are.
Yeah.
So far...
Mass Effect has always had fans of real intensity. And so they've had their trust broken. And now what do you do?
Exactly. And they're like, imagine if Madden came out and it was terrible. Like, worse than any Madden's ever been before. Like, how mad would those football fans be?
Yeah. I tried playing Madden once, like, in 2000, and then I just switched over to NFL Blitz because it was more fun for me.
By the way, football sucks, too, so come at me, bro.
Oh, crap. All right. Any other random stories we got to bring up?
Yeah.
I just want to jump in there, quickly mention that it actually just popped up through a news feed that Age of Empires 4 has been announced.
Oh, really?
So any RTS fans or fans of Age of Empires in general, because it's a good damn series of games, number 4 is out there. The trailer is on YouTube. We can put a link in the show's text.
Yep. So it's not the original studios, though, because I think they're gone, right? Like the original
Pretty
Microsoft.
Pretty sure, yeah.
But if it's made from the people that, used to be there or something. But we'll have to look at that, because I always like those
games. It's just an announced trailer, so there's not much to it. It's just like, hey, this exists, and it's going to happen. Go. But it's exciting.
Yeah, that's cool. Definitely, because I think that's a genre that's been sort of fallen by the wayside, with the exception of StarCraft.
And even then, StarCraft 2's numbers are way down.
Yeah, like now it's all about the tower defense games, right?
Yeah, between tower defense, you have all these clones of League of Legends, Dota, you got Overwatch and all its things. I just started playing this Paladins game, which is really just feels like Overwatch with a different...
But
bunch
like,
of skins on it.
With this coming out, it gives me hope for like another Command and Conquer game.
Yeah, I miss the original ideas of things like Civilization and Age of Empires and the original StarCraft.
Well, and I guess Civ has survived, but that's the only other one.
Yeah. But they're different games, though. Civilization and Age of Empires play very differently. So it'll be good to see a true RTS title again.
Time changes everyone. And everything. Empires will rise. Kingdoms will fall. The grounds of battle become stained with fire and blood. But our thirst for adventure exploration discovery and conquest will stand the test of time. Together we have battled through history. Age is upon us.
That's so, me.
Okay. I've got a quick one. Just that Microsoft announced the Project Scorpio Xbox One X. They talked about that system coming out. Well, they finally have pricing on it. And I'm just trying to see here because I saw the Canadian price, but we figure we got to give the American price. I think it's $499 American, $599 Canadian.
Oof.
Yeah, 500 American, 600 Canadian, which actually is not bad. That almost works in our favor, I think, when you consider the dollar difference. Because that should be like 650 or 700 if you did a full... So actually, we're getting it in the long run cheaper than you guys are.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And they've got announced a couple of different editions, like the day one Project Scorpio edition. All it is just looks a little more like, it has the same color scheme as the original Xbox and a special controller that says Scorpio on it, but there's nothing special about that. It does seem like a good deal if you don't already have a gaming PC or any other high-end gaming system. It would be a good launching point because it can do... Like, what you can do for the $500 American there is the equivalent of paying $1,500 for, a gaming PC.
Yeah.
So, that's cool. Like, it can do as much as something three times its cost, but most of us have a PC that you can play most games on anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, and today, you can even have a gaming PC built just under $1,000.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I've got one that could handle pretty much any game, at least at 1080p. I've got a cheap low-end 4K TV, and I've got a PS4 Pro that I did, some trade deals to get. And the PS4 Pro is still $100 cheaper. I think it was $499. It's $100 cheaper than that. And yeah, there might be some improvement to the games, but very few games are going to be exclusive on the system. Like, you get your Halos and that. But other than that, I could play them on any other system I have. So I don't know who they're really marketing this to. It's not to the high-end gamer who already has a PC. It's definitely not to the family that's getting their first system. They can't afford that.
Yeah.
Like, why would a family buy that when they could pay basically half the price and get a Switch?
Yep.
Yeah, family gaming is Nintendo's deal. There's really not much need. It's not like the consoles are doing the entire entertainment center thing like they used to.
And you know that once this launches, they're going to probably drop the PS4 Pro by $50, and at that point, you're saving $150 to $200 buying that, because it's not including taxes, right? And both systems can do 4K. It's just, ooh, which one does 4K a little better? So if I can get some sort of crazy trade deal on that or something, it might be worth getting, but we're at a point now where almost every game is available on every system, except for Nintendo, because it's just a little underpowered for some of these high-end games.
And again, like Tristan just said, Nintendo is the family-friendly game system. It's always been that. You're never gonna find God of War or any of that stuff on a Nintendo system.
And I wouldn't want to play Mass Effect or Call of Duty on a Nintendo system. I just wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like
it, it's just get to play Skyrim.
Like they're coming out with Skyrim, but that's
Skyrim on everything.
But that's a 6-year-old game, isn't it?
It's well aged. Six years in November.
So that's why they can do it, right? They're not upscaling anything. But if I want to play a Mario, I want to play a Zelda, I want to play the only one that I would like to see on there, but it would be too difficult, would be like a Final Fantasy. But it doesn't have to be Final Fantasy 15 with its crazy 4K graphics, because I got a PS4 for that. And for the longest time, Final Fantasy's been on the PlayStation platform anyway. But like maybe I'd want a role-playing game on there. But it doesn't have to be.
The Tactics series, the Final Fantasy Tactics, Tactics Advance.
Yeah, well, exactly. They've got those, or you could throw on the Dragon Quest games. Like there's tons of games that you'd want to play on there, but it doesn't have to be the crazy 4K stuff. So I see what they did, and they found a good place in the market. I don't know what this is supposed to do. This makes me think of Sega. They're going to have 3 systems out that play the same games that people aren't going to understand why they need to get a different system for.
Yeah.
Because you got the...
Plus those confusing names.
You got the Xbox One, which will play every game. You got the Xbox One S, which plays all those games, which I had one of those, plays all those games, also plays 4K Blu-rays, and plays the games a little bit better quality, and does support 4K for certain things. Okay, well, it's like a marginal improvement, and it's the current one that's out. Or you can spend another $200 and get an Xbox One X, which sounds almost exactly the same as Xbox One S, is the same basic size and look, looks almost identical.
Yeah.
And does more, but you can't tell it. If you looked at them, like, you couldn't tell the difference. So what's the point of having that when I could just go, well... You know, is it really worth me paying an extra $350 to get this one than just go buy a used original Xbox One? No, because you can probably get an Xbox One now for like $250.
Yeah.
Tops. Why would I go spend 3 times that to get an Xbox One X? Other than it's really cool and I got to have the best thing. The PS4 Pro was a substantial update. It was like a 1.5 times better. I know, like... From owning the original PS4 and PS4 Pro, I can tell the PS4 Pro is significantly faster loading everything because they added some more hardware and everything to it. But they also priced it at, $100 cheaper than this new Xbox is going to be.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it's too late. I think they pushed this launch date back and pushed this pre-order time back. And no stores even have stock of the pre-orders or anything. Because it's probably going to be a very limited run of these because they realize that they're so far into producing it that they have to release it just to make whatever money they can back, but I don't think they actually expect to make any money on the system.
Then why do it? Like, seriously, if you're not expecting a return on your investment, why are you investing all of those people's time and effort and energy into...
They're so big. The company is so big, they have to keep producing things.
Yeah, they feel pressure from
shareholders.
Sony and Nintendo releasing their own consoles as well. Because with the PS4 Pro and Nintendo Switch, everything's new and innovative.
Because the Xbox One came out and it was underpowered compared to the PS4, and they had that abysmal E3 where everybody laughed at them for what they wanted to do with their content protection and everything, and all that garbage. So, and then when they were in the process of developing this system, and instead they made that slim one, right? But in their process of developing this, Sony already comes out with their better version, and it trumps everything they've got currently. Like, they come out with the Xbox One S, the slim one, and it still destroyed it. So they're at a point where they're like, well, we have to keep producing. We've already got it in the design process, but we're not competing with the PS4. It's in a league of its own. Bullshit. You're competing with PC at this point. And if you're competing with PC, you're not going to win.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, not technically Microsoft anymore, but technically they're competing with their own friggin' legacy. I mean, it's like, what the hell? And like, look, how about instead of calling it the Microsoft Xbox One X, you just call it Xbox Two? I mean, it's just so much friggin' easier marketing.
Or call it the Pro. Oh, but we can't call it the Pro.
Because of PS4.
Yeah, or why don't they just call it the Xbox One Elite?
Yeah.
Would that
something.
Not would that not have been more in line with their Elite controller, their Elite editions that they already have?
Mm-hmm.
But no,
yep,
they had
that
to,
would have been.
They had to call it something
like someone,
stupid.
Yeah, someone got clever and went, "Hey, you know, if we call it the Xbox One X, the acronym is Xbox," and it just goes in a circle.
That's just dumb.
No, but seriously, if they had called this the Xbox One Elite, people would have been able to tell that, like, they would have looked at it from a product perspective of, oh, this is just the premium product. But
yeah,
when you have an Xbox One S and an Xbox One X beside it, people start to question, is it like a car where they have like the Sport Edition and the
yeah, here's your LX and your DX.
But this is what they've done. Somebody was really stupid when they named it.
Yep. Pretty much, yeah.
So that's my 2 cents on it. I mean, I may get one if I can get a crazy trade deal for it or something where I can get like half the price off. It may be worth it because it does play the 4K Blu-rays and it will be a powerful system, but I can't see myself playing too many games on it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about video game systems now. They want, like you said earlier, it's kind of going away from this, but for a while there, they wanted it to be your all-in-one entertainment center. Blu-ray this, DVD that, yada, yada, yada. You know, streaming services and all of that, and that's great, but
for that, I have
if
my
I'm
PS3.
Spending,
my PS3 was perfect for that.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, if I'm spending $400-$600 on a new system, I want it to actually play games. I don't want it to play everything I can do on my computer.
Exactly. I have my computer, and that's what it's for.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, I think we're going to take another quick break and come back with some sort of something.
My favorite.
I wish the ground was mushy and soft. When the whippoorwill whippers in the wind can whip her back. Oh, nice and chubby baby. Oh, little boy, come out, but don't with the mallet height. I'll make balloon nominals.
Go away, clown man.
Oh, you look a little kitty cat. Meowie, meow.
Go away.
Why is it taking Wacko so long to find us?
It's me.
A puppy. Hello, I'm a puppy, Bart Leavenworth.
Can you make a little cannon?
Yeah, I think so. There, a cannon. It blowed up at me.
Oh, boy! He really got the clown that time.
Oi, I gotta go home.
Hey, where do you think you're going, clown? I paid you to do an hour show.
But the puppy boy, he hurts with the mallet and a balloon. Boom!
Get back to that water tower!
Oh, please, no. I'm not a well clown.
Go!
Yeah, bye.
No! Baby, is that clown gonna get it? Yes!
There, there, Mr. Plotz. I think we need to go back to the couch, yeah?
Hey, little birthday boy. I got my little clown car. Fräulein Leiden! Fräulein Leiden! Wanna see it? Oh, the nice boy opened the door. I'm in the sky. I don't want to do this no more. Boy, don't hurt me no more. Oil, don't with the booms. Does this mean no booms? Boy?
Clown.
So yes, we have a news kind of topic because, you know, August 21st, 2017 was a total solar eclipse.
Of the heart.
No, just no. No, no, no.
I thought I was clever.
Yeah, no.
It's been done.
Yeah, it has. And she actually redid it for this, too. Supposedly, there was a news story out that I saw that Bonnie Tyler was going to sing her, you know...
She's still
only
alive?
Hit.
Really?
I assume so, yeah.
She must look like the Crypt Keeper by now. I gotta check this chick out.
Wow, dude. So, Tristan got to teach some people about the total solar eclipse at his job.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get the actual total eclipse way up here in the north there, eh?
Yeah,
We still got to really enjoy a lot of this event. It is pretty rare, and so people were confused as to what exactly was happening. And I made a little pinhole projector out of a couple paper plates that I bought just so I could help some people enjoy it for super cheap, because I'm super cheap. And they got a kick out of it. I was called a genius. I don't really see how. All I did was go on Google and go, how do I make a pinhole projector? And there it was. They enjoyed it. I live in a community that's close to a Mennonite community. And I got asked a lot of questions as to what exactly was going on. Like, they weren't scared. They weren't like, oh, you know, wrathful or anything. No, it was like, okay, so what exactly is an eclipse? I hear people keep saying eclipse, 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 and they asked me to explain it. So they got to learn about the whole moon in front of the sun, et cetera. It was, they seemed intrigued. They got to learn a little science. The kids loved it. There was a guy that brought a little sheet of welder's glass, so we all got to take a peek at the actual sun through that, so I got to see it with my own eyes instead of looking at a little upside-down projection on a paper plate. All in all, amazing experience. Would recommend it. Definitely going to enjoy the next one in 2024. Which is actually going to be a total eclipse for me up here in Guelph, Ontario, sort of. I got to make like an hour-long trip to get there, but it's still on this side of the border, so I don't have to go through customs. That should be fun.
Absolutely.
That was pretty cool. Now, did you convince any of the Mennonites that it was your magic powers doing it?
I was very tempted. I was very tempted, but they opened the questions with, so is that the moon in front of the sun? I'm like, okay, I can't really spin this into I'm using these plates to summon the moon disc in front of the sun disc.
There's no way you could have said zim zim zalabim.
I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure
if
that's
you don't
how,
appease me.
Isn't that where the great dragon flies out of the portal you made, and then
you must make appeasement to me, for my wrath is great.
Don't put that dragon in a dungeon over there.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But no, like, so here in Louisville, Kentucky, I didn't exactly, I was not going to go look at it. I'm perfectly fine watching a stream of it online or something like that. I mean, obviously, I looked out my window to see how dark it was going to get, because, you know, that's, how often do we ever really get darkness and daylight? Hardly ever.
It is rare, and it was cool. Yeah. It wasn't as dark as people were expecting it to be, but there was kind of an eerie gray tone to everything, kind of like a storm is rolling in, or there was some kind of strange filter on everything. It was interesting, but nowhere near as dark as I thought it was going to get.
Yeah, like, I thought it was going to be pitch black dark. Like, I thought it was going to be as dark as night. It was
like that in the 90s. I remember in school, we had to watch it in our gymnasium.
Yeah, I remember my teacher shutting the drapes and not letting us look outside or enjoy it whatsoever because they were a bitch.
Well, we watched it on like a 30-inch TV, but that was for like the entire school.
Oh, Lord. But no, the reason why I wanted to bring up, other than the fact that it is an amazing, amazing event that everyone should have at least found a way to experience it in some way or another, is because all these people and these solar eclipse glasses, whether they're fake, real, whatever, it's like, oh my God. It's like that chick from Independence Day standing up there, you know, ready to meet the aliens, and she's the first one to die. Like, seriously, oh my God, all these people with these solar eclipse glasses and yada, 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 and on eBay and Craigslist and wherever, like $1,000 for a pair of, I'm like, no, just no. Oh my god. Like, this is the end of the world or something. No, it's an event that comes around, you know, every 30 years or so. And news stories I've seen, and I could be wrong about this, I'm not actually looking at any news story at this point in time, but I think the last time it hit North America was like 99 years ago or something like that.
It was the 70s. Sometime in the 70s was the last major total eclipse over North America. There's been other eclipse events, but nothing total going right over the main land.
Yeah. And
but it's still rare.
Yeah.
Well, you know we're going to see news tomorrow about how many people went blind.
Yep.
And how many people died for some reason.
And we should shove them all over the lake and just let them go.
Just hang them all.
No. We hang game programmers and marketing folks. We set these people adrift.
Okay. There you go. You're going to see all that kind of stuff, you know, the day after the eclipse thing. And it's like, yeah, you're right. This is kind of rare. And total solars are rare. But, you know, we see total lunar eclipses all the time. Somebody, my buddy Paul, a.k.a. Optobotomus on YouTube, he said, oh, well, we technically get these every 2 years. We just don't always see them. And I said, yeah, but we see the lunar eclipses more than we see. He's like, oh, it's kind of like the Olympics. We get it every 4 years. And I'm like, oh, okay, sure, fine, whatever.
And it's
all as I know is everybody was making a huge deal out of this because it was the first time in X number of years that it was here in the north, you know, in the Western Hemisphere in North America. So,
yeah, they are rare events. They're quite spectacular. If you can actually see the total eclipse where you get to see the corona, it's supposed to be absolutely breathtaking. I mean, you can see photos and videos of it online anytime you want, so if you want to see what it looks like, then just go see what it looks like. But I can see the appeal of going and actually seeing it with your own eyes and being there to experience that, see the sudden darkness that is everywhere, and like bats start coming out because they think it's nighttime all of a sudden. It's a strange thing, and you kind of start to understand why a lot of ancient cultures would find them frightening. Like, where's the sun going? Oh my god, the world is ending.
Yep. And I mean, it only lasted like, what, an hour or two?
And
like
the entire thing was just over 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
And the actual totality is only like 5 minutes. And then it starts coming out the other side and quickly gets brighter again.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not like, you know, oh my god, the sun is going out, and oh my god, it's going to be forever that it's gone. No, that's not that. That's not it at all.
But a lot of those ancient civilizations, they'd see, oh my god, the sun's disappearing, and immediately their snap decision would be, okay, we need to sacrifice some stuff until it starts getting better, and then it starts getting better. So you can see why, oh, it worked. Okay, well, now I have confirmation that sacrificing however many virgins makes the sun come back.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
No, that's the gods.
I'm not saying
crazy.
It's right.
I know. I know you're not saying it's right. Oh,
we should really go back to those virgin slayings. You know, bring our son back.
But only the ugly ones.
Those are more numerous.
They're almost all guys.
Speaking of Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
There's a segue. Ugly Virgins, Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh my god. Good lord. Is there anything else we want to bring up this week?
Lunch after that.
I'm just looking at my local news.
Police
looking for man taking photos up women's skirts in Kitchener. So of course. All over the states, keep an eye out for a guy in my town.
That's right. Listeners around the world, Kitchener, Ontario. Do you
watch thank you God it's not a picture of me. They haven't found me yet. So what does it say here?
Known to take pictures up Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Loose skirt.
Exactly. Victoria Street, Margaret Avenue. Male, 20 to 30 years old. 5'11" average build. Oh, not me. Okay, we're fine.
Yeah, I would say between the two of us, we're way beyond average build.
And I was going to say, even you, Tristan, you're taller than that, aren't you?
Oh yeah, over 6'3" now.
There, so you're good. Yeah, now.
I've been that way for a while.
So over 6'3" now. I'm going to be a big boy when I'm done growing.
Made it.
So yeah, so keep an eye out for a dude. Yeah, he looks like a creep. Anyway. Any other local
news?
Oh,
God. All I can think of is that Rob Zombie song that was in Twisted Metal, Meet the Creeper.
I'm just typing in Florida, and let's see what news they've got.
No.
Okay, well, the first thing is statewide prison lockdown lifted. So the next one, just the headlines. Is Florida part of the South?
Yeah, you think?
Let's see here. A bunch of stuff about people in Florida staring at the eclipse without glasses. So exactly what we said would happen.
Yeah, everybody in Florida is going to be blind tomorrow.
Let's see here. Anything else crazy?
Don't worry. My friend's down there. You let that shield down on time.
And a bunch of murders. Tons of murders.
Naturally.
And, nothing else funny?
Florida man pulls out replica AR-15 rifle after McDonald's runs out of ice cream.
Stabbing victims. Oh, I see a Walmart picture.
Sweet.
How about, they apparently using Uber to deliver groceries to people in Florida.
How about a Florida woman who blew up her car due to smoking with a turned on grill in the back seat?
Okay. Multitasking.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Yeah, Florida.
All right.
Yeah.
Anywho, yeah, it kind of makes our one singular. There. I was going to say, we've got like in this region, we got like 500,000 people, and the worst news we have is one guy was taking pictures up some girl's skirt.
So, I'd say overall doing okay.
Not
a bad thing.
Not
but
so bad.
On the scale of things, all right, that's manageable.
Let's look up Guelph. Let's hope it's
slow news week.
It really honestly was. It was sort of
course somebody died, but otherwise we got nothing.
Yeah, like seriously, like you know what Guelph's number one story is right now? Top three Guelph burger joints.
There's a lot of burger joints. We have a food, like everything food here. I think there's two poutineries in the same street. Several burger places, of course, pizza places everywhere. There's so many options for food, and all I gotta do is go downtown. You can eat whatever the hell you want. It's so good.
Just don't go to that one place, the Pierre's Poutine. That one there, because I went there and they have a debit machine that actually has to dial in to make the like to it uses like a dial-up modem.
Did they find it somewhere, like behind another store?
No, like I went to pay, and I'm like, first of all, they have no air conditioning, which was a no-no for a fry joint. And then they're like, oh, sorry, we're gonna have to redial. Somebody tried to phone us while you were using the debit machine, and I went, what? And it took 5 minutes to use my debit card.
God, that's horrible.
So. Yeah, don't go to that place. It's kind of not cool.
No, I will have to avoid that one or take cash.
Yeah, well, and the poutine wasn't that great. So.
All right, well, screw it then. I'll go to the other one.
Watch, out of all the things I've said today, that's the place that'll somehow get me in trouble.
I'm really surprised that you didn't get in any trouble last week for all of your
shenanigans. What the hell did I say last week about hanging people? Is that it?
Hanging people?
Yeah.
Yeah, but hanging people's hanging people. I didn't call anybody a Spurg Lord, so.
See, even if you offend somebody from the poutinerie, they'd have to dial up to make a complaint anyway. So.
All they have to do is phone them right at the same time. I kid you guys not. It was literally like a dial-up modem it had to use. Yep. And then they got a phone call, and they're like, oh, it hung up on your call. You're going to have to use your debit card again. And I'm like, no, you just give it to me for free.
Yeah, at that point, screw it. Oh, if you want to kick me out and ban me, that's okay. I think I'll live.
Yeah.
So has everybody watched Defenders yet?
No. Been working this weekend.
No, I've been busy.
Okay.
I watched a stream that was 100% legal of the WWE stuff, right? Because I'm not paying them anymore.
We can talk about that later.
Yeah,
there's later. We'll be here all night if you start on your WWE rant. I have a plan for you at some point.
Okay, but I will say this: I was okay with how things turned out.
Okay, I don't know because I'm avoiding it at all costs until later this week.
Okay,
but I'm actually going to.
It's not crazy.
Watch. Yeah, I'm going to watch. All three in. I'm going to watch SummerSlam, Raw, and SmackDown all in one day.
So okay,
I can just blitz through it all. So.
And the Takeover was actually pretty good too, but it's always consistently good. The NXT one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I still don't care about wrestling anymore.
All right, kick him off the call.
Still such a 20 years ago thing for me.
Mr. Pop Tarts, you're done. You're done. We're going to hang you too.
We'll play No Man's Sky in heaven.
I was going to say, how the hell are you going to hang a Pop-Tart with a shotgun? That makes no sense.
Find them. We'll.
So the reason why I asked if we had seen Defenders, I have watched all 8 episodes. Everyone is complaining, oh my god, it's only 8 episodes. But see, that's the thing. Like, honestly, I would rather have the Netflix Marvel superhero shows be 8 episodes because it's more condensed. They don't have so many episodes to waste time on things.
Yep.
I'm never watching Iron Fist again. I will never watch Iron Fist season 1 ever again.
Well, see, I'm only 2 episodes in on that one, so I'm figuring I'm probably going to skip it.
Don't stop. Just don't even go any further. Just stop. You don't even need to watch it. Just look at the article we posted last week about all you need to know about Iron. Don't. I'm telling you, dude, if you're pissed at WWE now, you're going to be super pissed at Iron Fist by the time you get to. Yeah, just no.
Well, it seems like they're following, like, at least with this miniseries thing, they're doing more like what Game of Thrones does. And I know you're not watching Game of Thrones, but they did 10 episode seasons for the first 6 seasons, which is perfect because they ended up with about 12 episodes of content because the episodes are a little longer than normal. They're anywhere from 50 minutes to about an hour and 5 minutes. And then this season, they went, okay, we don't want to stretch it out, so we're going to give it 7 episodes this season and 6 episodes next season. And maybe, you know, a couple episodes might be like 70 minutes long. What they've done is HBO has been doing this actually with a lot of their shows. They give it, you know, anywhere from 7 to 10 episodes, and they're only as long as the story needs to be.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's the same thing with Breaking Bad. I mean, Breaking Bad, the first season is like 7 episodes because they didn't know if it was going to be a hit or not.
And that's
most
pretty
of the
much
the rest of the seasons are 13. I think season 5 is 16.
That's the standard now. Like, that's the way the British shows used to do it. That's the way Canadian shows used to do it out of money, like necessity for production budget. But in England, they've done that for years. Like, a season could be like 5 episodes long, and then another season's like 10 episodes long. It's however long they think it needs to be.
Mm-hmm. Defenders, what I will say without spoiling it for you or for anybody else, Defenders did an amazing job pulling all 4 of the characters together. It took a little time for them to get all on the same page, but how the show paced out the storyline for each character for the team to eventually come together, it really worked well. And our good buddy, who likes to, and we appreciate this, Jake had commented on last week's episode, "I'm really excited for Defenders, and it's good to know that it's apparently pretty good. I also checked out that Russian music video, and I was laughing my ass off the entire time. So thank you for bringing that up." So thank you for listening, Jake, as always. Yeah, I think that's going to do it for us this week, folks.
Oh, we're like still recording. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Alex doesn't want to kill anybody, I promise.
Damn it. Now I've got so much editing to do.
Just leave it all in and just name it, you know, Nerd News. What are we, 22 or 23, whatever?
Yeah, 22.
22, the crashing, the implosion, the the solar eclipse of our hearts. I don't know. The disaster. I don't know.
Yeah.
That wasn't really a disaster.
Yeah, no.
I'll tell you what's going to be a disaster. That Geostorm movie coming out. I saw a preview for that in the theaters today. Oh, Geostorm. Look it up. It's the Independence Day director and those disaster movies that come out every other year now, like 2012 and all that. It's like
Independence Day, the new one?
Well, all of them. Like the 2012, Day After Tomorrow, all those disaster movies.
Alright.
It looks hilariously bad. It takes place in the future where satellites control our weather, and if a bad storm's gonna hit, they use nukes to blow up the clouds and clear the weather, and there's no more earthquakes, and we have this giant space station where it does all this, and then Gerard Butler has to go into space to stop because some terrorist has taken over the weather, and now they're freezing people and turning them into ice and killing them. And
worth checking out.
There's like 10 10 tornadoes in one scene, like in the city, and they're all like symmetrical and perfect looking and ridiculous. And I think Andy Garcia plays the president. I don't know. I gotta double check. It was so quick that I saw the trailer, but it looks hilariously bad.
Huh. Yeah, I avoid those kind of movies. So Tristan, where can the people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Tristopher, and that's about all I got so far. I'm still, you know, I got to grow my social media presence. I got no Instagram. I got none of that other crap. Just the Twitter.
There you go. Alex, what about you?
I'm at Gravy Moose and wherever other podcasts crap that I'm on. I don't know.
There you go. I'm at TFG and Mike on Twitter. Tune in next week where hopefully Birdman will be back for the X-23 episode. So, yeah, we will be back.
Next time.
Wow, I lost that one, didn't I? Holy shit. Where'd that go? What's wrong with me this week?
When will this insanity end?
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit? Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
I have seen the mountaintops, and they are glorious.
You can go to sleep on top of them and be comfy.
Wait. Say that again, slowly.
Tristan, Andrew, Donald, William, Winkworth.
Tadwa.
It's a good thing you're not British, because you would almost be entitled to a crown.
Man, whoa, man, we had the best Chinese food. Tristan, have you had Double Dragon in this town?
I have not.
And they'll probably even give you, like, a chicken ball.
And the little lady there, she's like, oh, yum, 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 I don't speak English, blah, 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 blah. Here's your food.
Insert offensive item right here.
Hey, don't look at me. I'm not putting them up to it. They just keep talking about me.
Pre-show? What was the pre-show? So everything you saw before that was pre the show, which makes a pre-show.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.